You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. Brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the world's finest bookmaker, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary. To celebrate the launch of Nick Luck Daily, Fitzdares have a special sign-up offer that will double your winnings on your first bet up to a £50 stake. Just go to www.fitzdares.com/luck to sign up. Hi there, welcome to the show, bringing you the latest news and sharpest insight from around the racing world every weekday. It is Wednesday, October the 14th, and much to enjoy through the next half an hour, but our focus is very much on British Champions Day at Ascot to kick off, and two major stories that have been doing the rounds in the last 24 hours. The first of those is that Frankie Dettori will ride Mishriff in the British Champion Stakes and not the owner's retained rider, David Egan. This apparently is the decision of the owner, Prince Faisal himself, more of which in a few moments' time. The other story, and perhaps with more significant longer-term implications, is that Colin Keane, who has been riding a little for Aidan O'Brien through the last week and has twice been successful on Ballydoyle-trained horses, could yet continue that association on British Champions Day itself as backup to Ryan Moore. That was hinted at a press conference that Aidan O'Brien gave yesterday. The questions were being asked by Cornelius Lycett. Cornelius, what significance should we read into this newfound alliance between O'Brien and Keane? And is it likely to lead to something further down the line, do you think?
Well, he's had these mounts over the last few days, and it's impossible to say that that's not significant in some respect. Okay, Shamie Heffernan, Aidan O'Brien's number one homegrown rider, has been suspended, but we all know that O'Brien has never been frightened to use his less high-profile in-house team on his well-fancied horses. But at the Curragh on Sunday and at Cork yesterday, he did employ Colin Keane, something he'd only done once before late last year. And Keane, who's a former champion jockey, leads the race to be the champion jockey this season, showcased his undisputed talents with a well-judged success on Khartoum at the Curragh and getting up Sir Lucan to win at Cork. And by making those arrangements, Aidan must have known that tongues would be wagging. But before there's any talk of signing on dotted lines and Colin Keane joining Ballydoyle at the end of next week, it's worth noting that Shamie Heffernan is back tomorrow at the Curragh. There are no rides for Keane. But there was this media Zoom call ahead of Champions Day yesterday, and I was chatting to Aidan O'Brien. He indicated that Colin Keane could be employed for him on Saturday at Ascot. He'd be there anyway, because even so, the Irish Oaks winner, trained by Ger Lyons, is due to run in the fillies and mares race and is quite well fancied, I think. O'Brien said he expects Ryan Moore to ride Magical in the Champion Stakes. So Ryan Moore has been number one for, what, six seasons, is it now? Six generally prolific seasons. But as is often noted, that's quite a long time for a Ballydoyle Coolmore rider. And with Joseph O'Brien and Donica O'Brien growing all the while, maybe there's more of a youth policy likely to come in. I thought it was worth looking up everyone's ages. Joseph is 27, Donica is 22, Colin Keane is 26 last month. Ryan Moore is 37. I suppose that's quite a big gap at that kind of age. It's worth noting anyway. In terms of moving from Glen Burnie, Ger Lyons' burgeoning HQ in County Meath, that would be a big step for Colin Keane. They have formed the most formidable of partnerships, including two classics this year, Even So and Siskin in the Irish Guineas. I know that Ger and his wife Lynn they're as proud as punch of what's been achieved in recent seasons. But I've known Ger for many years, and I know he's a racing man through and through. He's pragmatic, he's realistic, and there is no way, I'm sure, that he'd try to stop Colin Keane, who also goes out with his daughter Kerry, stop Colin Keane taking what is the number one riding role in the world. There wouldn't be any point, would there? I imagine there would still be access to him. And actually, as was illustrated this year when Emmett McNamara, who used to be with Ger Lyons, now with Ballydoyle, when he won the Derby on Serpentine, I remember talking to Ger just afterwards, and they were absolutely chuffed to bits that they'd seen the little acorn before it grew into more of an oak. So if the offer is made, I would guess that I'm sure he would go.
Well, let's have a little listen to what Aidan had to say to Cornelius yesterday. At the end of this, you'll hear him talking about jockey bookings. But first of all, his likely three runners in the Kipco Champions Stakes, starting with the Great Magical.
We were delighted that the lads decided to keep Magical in training this year, and we feel that she came forward from last year. And it's into the autumn, she usually starts to progress. We saw that the last day at Leopardstown, we felt that she had come forward from her run before that, you know. So she's in good form, Cornelius, and obviously she ran in this race last year and loved it. So we're looking forward to her running, really. Yeah, no, we were delighted with her at Leopardstown. She'd been doing everything really good, and we were delighted with her going to York before that. We were really looking forward to her this year, and from every run, like, we thought that we couldn't have been happier, really. It was a great race the last day. It went a nice even pace. She was happy to make the running or get a lead or do whatever the last day. But she's a very solid filly, which tactically she can stand by herself. She doesn't depend on anybody else to help her. She's very happy to plough her own furrow. She's an amazing filly, really.
Absolutely. When you consider the Arc winner was fourth, and you had Mogul had form with placed horses in the Arc, as you sat and watched from Ballydoyle, you must have gritted your teeth, didn't you?
Listen, we were looking forward to Arc weekend. Cornelius, the horses were training really well for it and had been their target for a long time. And obviously, the like of Japan, and that they were all using those races as step ups to the Arc, and it's going to be his first time over that, we thought we had him really right at a mile and a half in the autumn, you know. But listen, that's the way it was, and that's the way it was meant to be, and we just accepted it and moved on. And listen, we were delighted that the horse that won it. Next year will be another year, but these horses hopefully will fall into different slots, and who knows whether it's going to be the right thing or the wrong thing for them. We just changed the route with them and see what will happen, really.
And you mentioned Japan. You thought you had him right. Is he ever going to fulfil that promise that you have talked about so often and that people have been really waiting for?
We were very happy with him going to the Arc. Cornelius was in a really good place, and he'd been working very well. And we felt that he has form with ease in the ground, and he had form in Longchamp, and he had form with over a mile and a half there. So, listen, we were looking forward to him running. We're very happy with him since. We think that he's in a good place and probably better than for his runs before. So we're looking forward to seeing him run again.
But Serpentine sounds as though he is going to run.
Yeah, the lads have to decide about him, what they want to do, really. But we were really looking forward to the Arc with him. His prep for the Arc was very good, and we felt that he had moved up plenty from it. Obviously, when we went to the Arc prep, it was a prep, and that's what we were using it at. He'd done very well physically, and Christoph was very happy with him, and he was looking forward to riding him in the Arc. But listen, that was the way it was, and it wasn't meant to be. He has to run somewhere shortly. Either that, or we have to back off him altogether. I suppose his options are run him Saturday, and our miss Saturday, and obviously after that would be the Breeders' Cup, the Japan Cup, the races in Hong Kong. So I suppose if he's going to run kind of now, it'll have to be there. But like, the lads have to decide what they want to do, and they will decide. But we're very happy with him at home at the moment. Listen, if he runs, it'll be interesting.
So any sort of jockey plans?
I know. Well, listen, obviously Ryan always rides the number one horses, and that's the way it is. And obviously I would imagine that will be Magical, and I would imagine Ryan will be riding her. So unless he wants to do differently, but that's the way I would imagine it will be, Cornelius.
And it was well noted that Colin Keane rode for you last weekend. He's going to be at Ascot, because I think... Even so, she's called, isn't she, who won the Irish Oaks, is likely to run in the filly and mares race. Might that be an association that was eye-catching last weekend that could continue at Ascot?
Absolutely. Like I said, we'll see what's going to run in the races tomorrow, Cornelius, and then we'll see. And like, obviously, Colin has been riding for us So, like, obviously, that would be a natural progression if he's over there, you know. So that's what we always do. And like, obviously, like I said, Ryan gets the first pick, and then we work after that, Cornelius. But that always usually works itself out fairly well.
Aidan O'Brien there playing a pretty straight bat, Cornelius's final question. Watch this space. Cornelius, we've heard about the big three in the Champion Stakes. Any other nuggets out of yesterday's presser?
Generally, just trying to read between the lines. He seemed quite enthusiastic about Sovereign going for the long distance race. Circus Maximus inevitably got a big talk up in terms of the QE2. And I know the Balmoral Handicap isn't the number one race of the day. But I thought there was a certain amount of, there was a little glimmer in his eye when Keats was mentioned. I think he's fourth or fifth, sixth favourite for the Balmoral Handicap.
Well, the point about this Saturday is that a lot of championships can be decided and some of them can be overlooked. And to be honest, Champion Sprinter is on the line in the Kipco Champion Sprint, because although Batash is done and dusted domestically for the year, the 6 furlong horses aren't. Dream of Dreams and Oxted are both rated 120. One is a 3 times bigger price than the other, and that one is the July Cup hero, Oxted. Roger Teal is his trainer and joins me now. Roger, what are you feeling going into Saturday now?
Yeah, look, we're really happy with him, Nick. He's training well again, and we did his last piece yesterday. He had a stretch on the grass yesterday and he handled conditions very well. Probably not going to be as testing as what Saturday's conditions are, but he travelled well and strong on it, so we're really pleased with him.
Would you agree that he's a quick six horse rather than a staying six horse, and as such he might not be playing his natural game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think obviously, his strength is he travels real strong and on quick ground there. But we'll probably just have to change tactics a little bit Saturday. But like I said, he's in good order, so we're going into the race in good shape, and it's going to be sort of hard work for any horse, I think, on Saturday.
But having said all that, when I spoke to you earlier in the season, you said you would have been quite happy to leave him alone till next season if needs be. Is that a measure of how well he is in himself that you're prepared to give him another spin?
Yeah, definitely. You know, after missing Haydock and that, we just sort of let him sort of, get back on shape and back on track. And he's come back bouncing. So, he's fit and well, so we might as well have one last roll of the dice, So, but we've got to find out if he does go on soft ground, and I suppose it's a good opportunity to find out.
And of course, pedigree buffs will know that Mason's record with horses with give underfoot is really very good, as was his own. So there are hopes there in his pedigree anyway.
Definitely, and his mother, we trained, she loved soft ground. She couldn't have it deep enough, so he's bred to go on it. So, and he's got an action that you'd say would suit. Just both times he's run on the easy side, it just hasn't gone to plan, and maybe we blamed the ground and it was something else. So, like I said, yesterday he had a nice stride along on the on the turf there yesterday up on the Lambourne Gallops there, and he strode out really nice.
It's a nice clash, isn't it, between these two horses who've won the big 6 furlong Group Ones this season. It's nice to think that it's something of a decider.
Absolutely, and Oxted's only had 2 races this season, and so we're fresh and we're well. So and Dream of Dreams has done nothing wrong at all. So and he's proven on the ground. So it's going to be an interesting event, that's for sure.
It certainly is. Roger, thanks for talking to me. Best of luck on Saturday.
Thank you, Nick. Cheers. Take care.
My thanks to Roger Teal, who runs Oxted in the British Champion Sprint this weekend. And while we're on the subject of Kipco British Champions Day, worth turning your attention to what looks an excellent lineup for the virtual preview evening. Tomorrow, Thursday the 15th of October from 7 o'clock, it's live on the British Champion Series Facebook page. The runners and riders are host Francesca Kumani from ITV, Chris Dixon of Racing TV, Kevin Blake for Sky Sports and ITV, Lee Mossershead from the Racing Post, champion jockey is Sheen Murphy, and Jamie Hart from the Tote. Cornelius Lycett is still with me. Lots to look forward to this weekend, Cornelius. One subject we ought to touch upon is the fact that Frankie Dettori is set to ride Mishriff in the Champions Stakes, not David Egan, who is the owner's retained rider. Now, my sources tell me that, contrary to popular opinion, that this is a decision that has come from the owner. The owner is fully intending to stand by his retainer to David Egan moving forward. But in this instance, the temptation of Frankie Dettori was too much.
He did ride the horse last time, didn't he? And before that, he ran in France when I think British jockeys weren't able to go over there. The lure of Frankie Dettori on any day, but especially at Ascot, especially on Champions Day, is enormous. Everyone sees David Egan as very much part of the upwardly mobile brigade. But his time for taking over from other people who might have been retained by other owners will happen in the future, I'm sure.
People's anxiety levels are going to be significantly greater as regards the continuation of racing in whatever guise it happens to be, rather than who rides what, when and where. So with that in mind, we've been talking to Brant Dunshay, who's the Chief Regulatory Officer of the British Horse Racing Authority, to work out if there is this much talked about circuit break, euphemism for lockdown, for however long, 2, 3, 4 weeks, could behind closed doors racing take place. Now, the latest news from Brant is that Jerry Hill, the BHA's medical officer, met with DCMS officials yesterday regarding the behind closed doors model, and he was assured that behind closed doors racing could carry on. Now, Brant pointed out that the challenge could be that if we went into a circuit break situation, or there were race courses, as Aintree and one or two others are in tier three areas, the public health authorities have been devolved quite a lot of responsibility, and they potentially could then step in and raise an objection. But already Jerry Hill has diffused a couple of those situations and has worked with public health authorities to make meetings go ahead in those areas. So that's sort of where we're at the moment, Cornelius. We're on tenterhooks, but we're going ahead.
And that sort of underlines the type of thing that's going on behind closed doors. You know, the borough council in one area will be quite different to Doncaster Council, which clearly played a part in the crowd trial at Doncaster not lasting beyond the first day of the St. Ledger meeting. So you've got to be good. You've got to have good relations with these people. Lawrence Robertson, who's the MP for Tewkesbury, which covers Cheltenham Racecourse, asked the Prime Minister. I noticed one of the many questions that Boris Johnson was asked about all this in the House of Commons, the Chamber, a couple of days ago. You know, why should a car boot sale be taking place, but shouldn't racing be taking place with a crowd? And although he needs to bang the drum, of course he does, and all MPs with racecourses in their area are banging the drum. They need to be careful. They need to be diplomatic. They don't want to bang it so hard that they rock the boat too much and end up falling out with, or racing ends up falling out with the local authority and paying the price for that.
Right, time for our weekly trip to Hong Kong. We head out east and join our correspondent, Jim McGrath.
Hi, Nick. A few years ago, somebody at the Hong Kong Jockey Club observed that local talent in the jockeys' ranks was not able to develop, given that some of the very best riders in the world were competing in Hong Kong on a daily basis. What to do about it? Well, the solution was quite ingenious, and it's working as well today as it ever has. The solution was to send the most promising young talent from the apprentices' school abroad, ideal places with South Australia and New Zealand. And they were able to get experience there without being overwhelmed by the likes of Marrera, Purton and company every time they put on a set of colours. Well, one of the big success stories in this much-welcomed format has been Jerry Chow. He went down under, rode 77 winners in South Australia. Now he's back in Hong Kong and has already ridden 11 winners from 144 rides. He's talented, he's improving, and he's exceptional value for his £10 claim. So, on a day when Joe Marrera and Karis Teton both return from suspension with full books of 8 rides apiece, focus on Jerry Chow when he rides Buddies for Tony Cruz in race 8. This So You Think 5-year-old, he'll be very hard to run down in front on his first run at Happy Valley. I think Marrera can win race 4 aboard Wild West Wing. And oh yes, Zach Purton, he can win race 5 on an old favourite, Hercules. They're all part of a cracking 8-race card at Happy Valley.
My thanks to Jim, Hong Kong to Hay on Wye now, and to the stables of Sheila Lewis. Sheila just has 6 horses in active training, plus a couple more along the way, and she literally sent out half her string to win yesterday at Hereford. I've been talking to her. I began by asking her, could she have possibly imagined such a treble?
Well, I spoke to my dad in the morning and he said, you know, all 3 have got chances. And I thought, well, they have got chances. I mean, Straw Fan Jack, we knew when the penny dropped that he was quite special. Knight Commander was my biggest hope of the day. But Cotton End, there was a question mark whether she'd stay that extra because she hasn't been staying. So, no, a treble was not the furthest thing from my mind.
And just tell people who aren't familiar your background, because you run a beauty salon alongside, don't you?
That's right, yeah. I've had a beauty salon for 20 years, and we've always been involved in horses. We were involved with harness racing for the last 30 years, and then we made a switch. I bought myself a pointer and did quite well pointing, then got a permit and then got a license. And I've only got a few in training, so I haven't got quite enough money. The business isn't making enough money for me to make the leap of faith over into full-time training. So I'm topping it up with the beauty salon. I'm actually in there at 11 this morning. I've got a pedicure booked in at 11, and from then on in till about 5:30 tonight.
So 6 horses in full-time training. I mean, some people say they don't want any more. Do you want more? Would you like the racing business to completely take over?
Yeah, totally. Totally. I'd like to switch occupations, definitely.
So what sort of team have you got at home, Sheila? Just tell us who's involved and how it all works.
Okay, well, I've got a young girl with me who's just been to racing school, and she's with me, and she's actually got her amateur license, and she's having her first ride over hurdles now in Exeter on, I think it's next Tuesday. We've just entered her this morning on Knight Commander, actually. So she's with me full time, and then I have a couple of others come in and ride occasionally as well, and she does all the schooling on them as well. She's only 17. She hasn't passed a driving test yet, but she's a fabulous rider.
So Katie Powell having her first ride at Exeter next week. So we look out for her on Knight Commander, one of yesterday's winners. He was the shortest price of the 3 horses. The biggest price was Straw Fan Jack, 25-1. He actually looks pretty exciting horse for the future.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what he does over hurdles is a bonus because he just wants a fence, really. But he jumped a lot better yesterday. And yeah, very exciting horse. Yeah, because I still think there's huge improvement in him also when he, you know, gets it together a bit more.
What had been your best day racing before yesterday?
I think my best day was at Bangor. I think it was April last year, and I hadn't had a winner for 2 years. And Adam Wedge won on a 16-1 shot, 3-mile chase. That was so great to come in. I needed that.
But this is something completely extraordinary, to win with literally half your stable on the same afternoon. When you were driving to Hereford yesterday, what were you thinking?
Well, as I said, really, I kind of thought Knight Commander was my best chance. I couldn't see much beating him. I hoped it would have a double, but I just actually thought, well, it's not going to happen to me. Not going to happen to me. I never for 1 minute thought I was going to train the treble.
Well, Sheila, thanks very much for talking to me. And all I can do is wish you all the best and say many congratulations on a fabulous achievement.
Thank you. Thank you, Nick.
Well, lovely to hear from Sheila Lewis there, Cornelius, who's from your sort of part of the world, really. She trains in Three Cocks.
Three Cocks is on the borders of Herefordshire and Wales. And I love racing does do this better than almost anyone else, where except on, say, FA Cup third round day, where somebody does one thing. In her case, she runs a beauty salon and then also trains a few horses around the hills of where she is. To have had one winner would have been great. To have had 2 winners would have been out of this world. To have had 3 is absolutely fabulous. So 3 winners for 3 Cocks, that's certainly something that people won't forget for a long time.
Possibly not a line I'll be using at any point during the Champions Day broadcast this weekend. Cornelius, send us home with a winner.
Well, we mentioned David Egan. And actually, there's a horse running today, quite an interesting horse at Bath running called Lockdown. It's had one run for Tim Fitzgerald and Ollie Pimlott in France and ran okay and now runs. I think it had quite a good reputation this Lockdown with Hugo Palmer, but now with Tim Fitzgerald runs at Bath today. But I thought the big eye catcher at Bath, we've talked about the O'Brien family and we've talked about David Egan during this podcast, and Joseph O'Brien and David Egan come together with a filly called Tracia that runs in the 3:20 at Bath. It looks a fiercely competitive race, but I think Tracia clearly wouldn't have been sent from the hill by Joseph O'Brien unless they thought there was a right chance. Down has been sort of swimming in the deep end and looks to have a very good chance in that 3:20 at Bath today. And good luck to David Egan.
Cornelius, thank you very much. Thank you for listening as well. That was Wednesday, October the 14th. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with FitzDares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.